here's a story from The World.
Since new variants of the coronavirus were discovered in the UK and South Africa, there has been a wave of travel bans and restrictions that have been imposed around the globe. It raises a question that was discussed a lot at the start of the pandemic. Just how effective are these restrictions? Our next guest, Lawrence Gostin, knows a lot about this. In the early 2000s, he was involved in revising the international health regulations for the World Health Organization to strongly discourage countries from implementing travel bans to slow the spread of disease. But Gostin says now it might be time to revisit that. Lawrence Gostin joins us from Washington. Professor, let's go back in time to the early 2000s when the WHO issued the regulations we just mentioned. What were the concerns, that the harms of restrictions would outweigh the good?
If you go back to that time, we were actually in another widespread epidemic, and it was the first coronavirus epidemic. It was the SARS epidemic. Canada in particular was really just brutally hit hard by travel restrictions throughout the world, and they were very aggrieved by that. It really reduced their GNP. And they fought very hard at the World Health Organization to reform the international health regulations in light of SARS to actually protect travel. And so the international health regulations basically have a three-pronged dynamic. They protect public health, obviously that's primary, but it also protects travel and trade. And there's supposed to be a balance between the three of them.
You've noted that the coronavirus has prompted you to revisit these restrictions. What has changed in the last 20 years, or should I say within the last year, that's led you to make that conclusion?
Let me just start by being absolutely brutally honest. We're flying blind. We actually don't know the extent to which travel helps or harms. Usually it harms. So if you go back to the West African Ebola epidemic, many countries placed travel bans in West Africa, which prevented humanitarian and health workers from going into the region. It devastated the economies, and it had no particular impact with COVID-19. It turned out that countries did use these travel restrictions, some of them with pretty good effect. Certainly island nations like New Zealand and Australia did it well, but even in Southeast Asia, they did it well. Let's ask genuinely, do we have empirical evidence that a travel restriction will actually work? My guess is that it'll only work on the margins. That is, it'll give us a month or so, or maybe just weeks to get ready.
Yeah, so given the lack of hard evidence on what travel bans actually do, does that suggest that countries could today maybe be over-relying on travel restrictions when it's not clear that they're effective?
Right now, the latest spate of travel restrictions are to do with this SARS-CoV-2 genomic variant. Countries are just, you know, shutting their borders. We've seen that in Europe. The problem is, you know, that could work, but most likely it's already there, and it's almost certainly here in the United States now.
Is there a possibility that people who get vaccinated could be exceptions to travel restrictions, and what are the implications of that?
It's controversial. You know, it's only happened once in the history of humankind when we did this. That's the World Health Organization's yellow fever certificate. So this would be a very, very novel approach. The problem is how do you prove that you've been vaccinated? How long is the durability of your immunity? And the vaccine certificate can't be a guarantee that you can't spread it because we don't even know if the vaccine prevents transmission. We only know that it prevents acquiring serious disease.
Still lots that we don't know, but until you have hard evidence, are you thinking about traveling, Professor?
You know, when I was a little boy, I read a novel that still sears in my brain. It was called All Quiet on the Western Front.
Sure.
It was set in World War I. The soldiers endured the most horrific events. And then when the war was over and there was a truce called, a stray bullet came and killed the soldier who was the lead character. And, you know, now that vaccines are so close, I don't want to risk traveling. I want to stay home. I want to shelter. I want to model the best behavior. And then I want to get my vaccine and feel a little bit safer. And I want the rest of the public to do the same.
Lawrence Gostin, a professor at Georgetown Law and the director of their O'Neill Institute for National and Global Health Law. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much, Marco. I appreciate it.
From PRX.